thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, October 31st, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. President Robert Mugabe's ruling ZANU-PF has dismissed as a big joke a party being crafted by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru.
Why are they coming in now to say people's face? We are always the people's party. These people are just lost. Look at how they are fighting. They are just a bunch of confused people. They are not serious at all. Even Savrai is even more serious than them.
A Zimbabwean PhD candidate at the University of Pretoria has started carrying out research to investigate the impact of Chinese investment in Zimbabwe.
We've seen Harare being transformed, we've seen Lae being transformed, and all our other urban centers with the coming in of small-scale Chinese retailers. And so we want to understand the impact it has had.
And Golden Girl Kirsty Coventry says she is preparing for the next World Swimming Championships.
My preparations are going great. I'm very happy with them. I'm qualified for the 120-meter backstroke in August at the World Championships.
President Robert Mugabe's ruling ZANU-PF is dismissed as a big joke, a party being crafted by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, saying it is unlikely to pose a threat to the party that has ruled Zimbabwe for more than 35 years. ZANU-PF's Member of Parliament for Pelindaba Mpopoma, Joseph Chuma, says People First is a non-starter as the majority of Zimbabweans are ZANU-PF supporters. He speaks to Studio 7 about People First and other issues in our political series focusing on Zimbabwe's social, economic and political challenges.
That's the biggest joke of the year. People First, how? ZANU-PF has always been for the people. Why are they coming in now to say People First? We are always the people's party. These people are just lost. Look at how they are fighting. Just recently, Tema Militia is coming out, the guns blazing, and the Tema Militia, now they are saying they don't live in non-Tema Militia. Yet they came out together. They are just a bunch of confused people. Look, even Savrai is even more serious than them.
These people who are proposing to set up the party are worried that the First Lady is always attacking Mrs. Mujuru. They are saying for no apparent reason. Why is the First Lady attacking Mrs. Mujuru when she's not reacting at all?
When is the last year the First Lady talked about Mrs. Mujuru? It's been a long time. She only spoke about Mrs. Mujuru before Mrs. Mujuru was actually officially fired from the party. After that, I don't think I've heard her speak about her. I don't think Mrs. Mujuru is still an item in our agenda.
And some of them are scared about the security situation in the country. They are saying that they are scared of ZANU-PF. Is there any assurance that you can give them?
Samurai is moving free in town. DT is moving free in town. Jobscan is moving free in town. All these MTC MPs are moving free in town. So why would then anyone else fear? Because these are our biggest headaches we're going to talk about in terms of headaches.
Mr. Chuma, we see that Zimbabwe's economy is almost collapsing. Is your party having any kind of idea of how to revive the economy?
I can tell you for a fact that investors are actually now jumping over the fence and coming into the play. I've actually seen some German investors coming in, and a high power delegation of the Chinese also came by. They are looking at starting over all those deals. We are looking at Russia as well, and we are looking at the Nigerian billionaire Dangote as well.
But there are some people who are saying that ZANU-PF is preoccupied with factionalism, and so you cannot tackle the economy because people want positions in the party, nothing else.
That is total daydreaming. Even in a family, if you've got a family of eight, I remember last when we were eight, we would have those squabbles as siblings. So ZANU-PF being a mass party, broad as we are, so many of us, different tribes, different color, different everything, you expect some of these things to actually transpire.
That was Joseph Chuma, a ZANU-PF Central Committee member and lawmaker, speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. But Rugari Kumbo of the proposed People First Party says ZANU-PF is scared of their organization, as First Lady Grace Mugabe is usually attacking Mrs. Mujuru, even though she has not been talking about politics in Zimbabwe.
When we are ready, like a queen bee does, in consultation with the drones, they move on to a new place. When they do that, they are joined by other swarms, become a bigger swarm, and we start a new life. And that's the way we look at it. It's going to be terrible for other people because they don't seem to understand our concept. And to that extent, we just leave the situation as it is until such time that we can then have the political party. We will launch. There's no question about it. We are going to launch a new political party.
Now, why is the First Lady always attacking Mrs. Mujuru? Do you know the reasons?
No, I don't know. You can ask her. I personally don't know. It's for you to find out why she does that kind of thing. But we don't think it's necessary that she attack someone who has not done anything wrong to her or to her family or to the prisoner.
What are your assumptions, you know? You should have some assumptions, right?
Assumptions about why she's doing that?
Yeah, why she's doing that, yes.
Well, I really don't know. It might be a question of jealousy or whatever it is. I really don't know. I don't think it's worthwhile commenting about that. I think what is important is what do we ourselves do, given the situation as it is here, the president in Zimbabwe. I think that is what is crucial, not what other people say and so on. So on. I don't think it's that important.
Let's talk about the security situation surrounding people that are aligned with this party that you're trying to craft. How safe are you?
You are as safe as you can get up in the morning, do your chores during the day, and then go to bed. They've made noises about us, some military commanders threatening to annihilate our group, and so on. These are things which we should expect as fighters. As long as we breathe, we are going to fight for our vision. We are going to fight for our brand of leadership. We really don't care what these people say. Yes, security, you never know, anything can happen, but that's the reality of life. It will be God's decision. He's the one who knows when and how someone is going to disappear from this earth. So if we perhaps put an accent on safety and so on and so on, we may not be able to do any job at all. We are a peaceful organization. When we were expelled from the party, we never retaliated physically or anything like that. Yes, we talked a lot about the unfairness which had occurred, but we don't do like what these guys are doing now. There are factions sort of unfold. There have been clashes and so on and so on. And we have said to our people, look, you remain peaceful, non-violent. We are fighting for democracy, and we use the democratic processes that are there, and let's organize people, and we are organizing people for 2018.
That was Rukare Kumbo, People First Interim Spokesperson, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. On the other hand, MDCT Deputy Spokesperson Tabita Kumalo says it's unlikely that they will embrace some of the People First supporters.
The issue of People First, we have no problem with any political party. As the MDC, we have the big tent syndrome. All what we are saying is those that are pro-democracy and progressive members of the society, they are welcome into our party. But what we don't want is, we don't want people that are being used by ZANU-PF in order to fulfill their ruthless ways of getting into power by destroying dissenting voices that are against what ZANU-PF is saying. So we have no problem. If you don't have blood in your hands and you're not coming to the MDC to come and destroy us, we have no problem. But you have blood in your hands to come and destroy MDC, hell no. You are not welcome, because Zimbabwean people are tired of this ZANU-PF regime, and the time has come for it to leave power and let the progressive forces come in.
And now, what do you think about the former Vice President Joyce Mujuru as a leader?
Well, as a leader, she was a good leader as far as I'm concerned. But what is there is, as long as you're in ZANU-PF beating up people, killing people, you're part and parcel of the same process. So she has to clean herself, prove to the people that she's now clean. And I mean, obviously, there's need for an apology. There's a time when she apologized for what ZANU-PF did. But it must be a genuine apology. And that apology must walk the talk.
How genuine can an apology be that comes from a politician, Ms. Kumalo?
A genuine apology should be shown by the actions that you take against the rhetoric and the draconian leaders that we have, which is Robert Mugabe. Because if Joyce Mujuru is able to stand up and challenge Mugabe and tell the people of Zimbabwe where the 500 MDC comrades that were killed, where we can find their body, where is Itai Dzamara, what is happening, and how have they been rigging this election, how have they been using Mukuf. So those are the areas that will show the people of Zimbabwe that she's cleaning herself. But as long as those things are not being said, what guarantee do we have that she's coming in genuinely or she's coming in on an agenda? The truth has to be told.
That was Tabita Kumalo, Deputy MDCT Spokesperson, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA. A Zimbabwean PhD candidate at the University of Pretoria has started carrying out research to investigate the impact of Chinese investment in Zimbabwe. Maureen Kadimaunga says she chose this research topic following concerns by members of the public, business executives and some state officials about unclear Chinese investments in the country. She tells Studio 7 her research is likely to shape Zimbabwe-Chinese relations in the near future.
I'm looking at intergroup contacts between migratory Chinese retailers and local people and how that has transformed the retail industry in Zimbabwe.
What really prompted you to go for such a topic? It's a very interesting topic, by the way.
It is mainly out of the realization that the current China-Africa debate is very macro. It looks at the bigger picture and the bigger things that have been happening, but it hasn't really gone down to look at how the influx of Chinese, especially in Zimbabwe, as we have witnessed a huge influx of small-scale retailers coming into Zimbabwe. So it hasn't really focused on how that is affected or in a negative way or positively the quality of life of the people of Zimbabwe.
In terms of, the Chinese coming into Zimbabwe to invest. So are you working towards coming out with a paper that will bring to light what exactly is happening on the ground?
Yes. Some of the questions I would like to answer are whether their presence has in any way assisted our economy or not, and also just to see if that perception that you have echoed is in fact true, that they are coming in and taking over businesses that could be done by local people. But already I think I have a preconceived idea that it is possible that our government has promoted this influx so that the local people are pushed out of business, because, when you are empowered, you become politically independent. And when you're politically independent, you start to question things. And when you start to question things, the status quo is in trouble. We saw this happening in South Africa with the apartheid government allowing the influx of the Indian retailer to come and, fill out the black African retailer so that we continue to be perpetually unempowered, disempowered, and in that way politically marginalized as well and unable to, question certain things.
In a way here, are you trying to influence government policy towards China?
I would like to expose the weaknesses of the deals that perhaps our government has been entering, that maybe they're not really win-win situation. And it's not mainly because the Chinese are just out to benefit for themselves, which is what every other nation state does anyway. But what is it that our government has done to make sure that this influx does not affect our economy and our own people? So I am really concerned more on exposing the negatives and the positives.
Do you think that this study is going to benefit Zimbabwe?
If I conduct it in the way that I want to, I am sure that it will produce results that will be able to inform, future policy by government. And also that will be able to shape the discourse about the presence of China in Zimbabwe. Because at the moment, people speak mostly from position of speculation and painting every Chinese person with the same brush and, not understanding what really is behind the whole phenomenon. It's a huge thing. We've seen Harare being transformed, we've seen Lae being transformed, and all our other urban centers with the coming in of small-scale Chinese retailers. And so we want to understand the impact it has had on our people. And that this is a debate that must not be ignored, and we continue to talk just about the big deals that the governments are signing and the big corporates. We must also talk about, the quality of life of the local person and how it has been affected.
That was Maureen Kadimaunga, a Zimbabwean PhD candidate at the University of Pretoria, speaking with Studio 7 from Pretoria, South Africa. Zimbabwe's links with China date back to the liberation struggle of the 1970s. And as usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight I have the pleasure of speaking to Olympiad Kirsty Coventry. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Kirsty. Tell us about your preparation for Rio.
Hi, I'm Kirsty Coventry. Right now, it's going really well. My preparations are going great. I'm very happy with them. I'm qualified for the 120-meter backstroke in August at the World Championships. It was a little bit slower than I'd wanted to be time-wise. I had a little bit higher expectations, but we are making a few adjustments, and I have another big swim meet that I'm going to taper for and prepare for fully in February of next year. So that'll give us a better idea of how to then make final adjustments for Rio. But I'm swimming with a great team. There's about 15 of us, including Ryan Lochte from America, second most decorated athlete, and two other girls that I train with just won silver medals at the World Championship. So a really solid group. Everyone training with us has a very legitimate chance of making their national team for Rio. So that's really great because the accountability that everyone holds, everyone else too, is at a higher standard. So it's good. I'm excited. I'm having fun. And I'm looking forward to the next couple months.
And also you have started some initiatives in Zimbabwe. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yes, so we formed the Kirsty Coventry Trust a couple years ago, actually, after London Olympics. My husband and I moved back, and we were in Zimbabwe for 2 and a bit years. We saw that there was a little bit of a gap in promoting water safety and drowning awareness. And the best way for us to make a direct impact was to basically train trainers. So to train coaches with the correct qualifications. And then we had our first pilot project at the beginning of this year at Mother's Touch School. And it went really well. We had all 450 kids jumping in the water and learning how to float properly and blow bubbles and pull themselves out of a pool. So if they ever get into a situation, they know how to swim to the side and get out. And obviously the next step from that is teaching the actual strokes and swimming and then forming a swim team. And that is going on at the moment. So with this being our first school, we've learned a lot in the first year, and it's close to my heart because it's something that I want to be very focused on after I retire, after Rio. And I'm just really excited that the kids have been really excited. They appreciate it. And I think that's kind of the most important thing, is getting children to enjoy being active and playing a sport and learning the values that sport brings.
Talking about that, what word of advice would you have for parents that have children that are interested in swimming and also just really interested in taking swimming as a sport or career?
Yeah, I think specifically with swimming is, as a parent, my suggestion is always make sure that the person that you are taking your child to get lessons or to learn, make sure that they are properly qualified, because things can go wrong very quickly in a very shallow amount of water. So you need to have a great faith and trust that the coach you're taking your child to is properly certified and knows what he or she is doing. And secondly, it's a great sport. And we are seeing so many more. For me, what's so encouraging at the All Africa Games, and especially in the swimming, is we're seeing so many more African countries become involved and want to swim and are doing so well. And that is something in Brazzaville that was just very apparent to me. And we need to take that opportunity and run with it. And the swimming community is kind of open arms, because we've been such a small community, but now it can just kind of open up and take people in. And I think every athlete that you speak to will say in their sport, once you start in a sport, it becomes very much like a second family. And swimming is very much like that. We're a very close community. We're very supportive of each other. It's about creating a stronger community that is not just stronger physically, but mentally, and can help kind of rely on each other. I think one of my favorite sayings from back home is it takes a whole community and a whole family to raise a child. And that's the same mentality we need to have with sport, is it takes a whole entourage of people to get an athlete to that top level. And we are just moving parts in that entourage.
Any plans of starting a family soon?
My husband would say yes right after Rio. I'm like, let's just give me some time to be normal, a normal person. We definitely want to start a family. Obviously not until Rio or after Rio. But yeah, hopefully maybe by 2020 we'll have a little Kirsty running around cheering for the Zimbabwean athletes at the Tokyo Olympic Games.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Kirsty Coventry, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. Now to recap today's top stories. President Robert Mugabe's ruling ZANU-PF has dismissed as a big joke a party being crafted by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. And Golden Girl Kirsty Coventry says she is preparing for the next World Swimming Championships. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Kande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.